You know how Alaska pays its residents an oil dividend every year? Well, California's governor wants to do that for data. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Earlier this month, California's new governor, Gavin Newsom, proposed that perhaps tech companies that make lots of money collecting and monetizing our personal information should share that wealth, and that people who live in California should get paid something called a data dividend. And we are going to chew on this idea today in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Owen Thomas is the business editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. He recently wrote that the data dividend idea was, let's say, overly simplistic and has been tried before.
It's actually a really old idea that goes back to some of the earliest business models that people tried out in the first dot-com boom. That, you know, if there's some value to your attention, why can't you, the consumer, directly monetize that attention instead of someone else making all the money? But it kind of takes a twist when you try to apply that idea that your personal data has this kind of abstract, guaranteed value, and you should just get a cut of that.
Mm-hmm. It's true, this is not a new idea. And actually, just even recently, like a Microsoft researcher, Glenn Wiles, started proposing the idea again that we are all increasingly becoming unpaid data laborers. We are contributing all of this and that the bargain is unfair. You're arguing, you know, essentially good luck with that. And is it partly because it's so hard to figure out a flat rate, if you will, a value?
Well, I think that the companies would say you are getting something of value. If you are posting your photos on Instagram, you get an audience. You're able to connect with your friends. You're able to use their filters. They would argue mm-hmm. It's an even exchange. But I want to go back to this idea that like data, you know, has some value that you can extract. Your personal data, let's say that you could somehow share it, exchange it. It might turn out not to be worth that much. And I think that would be kind of shocking to people because these companies are clearly making a lot of money, but they're making the money through an alchemy of some amount of personal data that you have, a lot of data that they have, and maybe data that advertisers themselves have contributed, like targeting information, advertising segments. Budweiser might know, you know, exactly where its ads are most effective, and they use that information to place ads online. So where did the value come in and where does the value go out? I think these are really hard questions.
If we look at this as a process of sort of starting a conversation, do you think anything could come of a proposal like this?
I think that if you're looking at this and saying, hey, these companies are really profitable and we feel like they're unfairly profiting from, you know, society at large, well, we have a system for extracting that value. It's called taxes. So why don't you just tax their mm-hmm. profits and then apply that to any number of public goods that you might need?
Owen Thomas is the business editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, despite the skepticism, and there is plenty, a company called Ant Transaction Machines at ATM.com launched right after the governor's speech, they say in response to it, and promised to help people control their online information and hopefully also get paid for it. And now for some related links. I'm not telling you to go sign up at ATM.com, but I am kind of curious about it. It says it started by two guys. One is a longtime financial markets and micro-investing entrepreneur, and the other is a physicist and behavioral economist. I'm going to have to call them up. The idea seems to be almost like a data union, that if enough people participate in this platform, it will be able to negotiate for a revenue-sharing agreement with data buyers. Whether that means third-party data companies or advertisers or platforms or what is kind of unclear. But this company's existence shows that the conversation is not going away, because ultimately it's about control and fairness and people feeling like these companies aren't running roughshod over our lives, doing whatever they want without us knowing about it. Speaking of which, here are some developments on that front from this week alone. Children's and privacy advocacy groups are asking the FTC to investigate charges that Facebook knowingly enticed kids to spend their parents' money on games and digital goods, refused to reimburse those parents, and even, in internal documents, called one underage girl a whale, like in Vegas, because she spent so much money on the platform. And also, I don't think we can understate how insane it is that Google's Nest alarm system had a built-in microphone that the company didn't tell anyone about. And also, no one would have realized that YouTube was letting actual pedophiles post all kinds of gross comments on videos featuring kids if a YouTube creator hadn't done a video about it and started a campaign to let advertisers know their ads were running on these videos and on these pages full of gross comments. This is all more than a trust problem. It's starting to feel like the beginning of a reckoning. Matt Purdy and Stephanie Hughes produce Marketplace Tech. Eve Tro is our senior producer, and Daniel Powell is our engineer. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and yes, listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism going strong. We really appreciate your support.